So, Blue Cross and Blue Shield, we will point out at the outset that they were developed separately, with Blue Cross providing coverage for hospital services and Blue Shield covered physician services. Let's go back to the beginning. Its predecessor was developed by Justin Ford Kimball in 1929. Ralph, you perhaps can tell us that story.
Well, that came about as a result of the school district in Dallas, Texas. The teachers need a way for them to go to the hospital. Kimball then set up a program where they could pay so much a month into a fund, and then they could go to a hospital and have their babies or have their appendix out or whatever happened to teachers in those days in 1929.
And we could point out, because we'll be talking about costs as we go along here, that the first plan guaranteed teachers 21 days of hospital care for $6 a year.
Yes, a year.
Yeah.
From there, however, Blue Cross started on the East Coast. It went from Dallas to Baltimore and Philadelphia, up the East Coast, and then ended up, you need to know this story, because Andy Helen was the first president in Oklahoma. Andy Helen was from Minnesota and Wisconsin. He called himself the sweat sock salesman because he sold sweat socks to schools. But anyhow, that's how the idea went from Dallas up the East Coast, then back into North Central, then came down to Oklahoma.
And I understand it's actually the Depression, 1929 and 1932, that drove some of these plans because people brought in chickens and meat to pay their bills.
In those days, they paid their doctor bills with chickens and pork and a bushel of corn and so on.
And my studies, similar plans actually went back to the 1600s, giving credit to a Montreal physician.
Yeah.
That far back, but to bring it into modern times. The plan has been out there then for some time, but it wasn't in Oklahoma. So how did it come to Oklahoma?
The Sisters of St. Anthony Hospital in Oklahoma City heard about this prepayment plan idea, and they wanted to set something up in Oklahoma City. The sister who was in charge at that time was Sister Mary Agnes. She went to Philadelphia in Wisconsin and Minnesota and got the idea that that was a pretty good idea. Then they were looking for who would set it up in Oklahoma. The sweat sock salesman applied in a hotel room in Chicago. They liked him. I liked him. He was a likable guy, came to Tulsa. In order to get Tulsa involved, the sisters put the headquarters over here instead of in Oklahoma City.
There seems to be a story that leads up to that. You recall a Dr. James Stevenson.
Dr. Jim Stevenson, yes.
A Tulsa doctor, and Dr. Harry Turner led a carload of doctors in 1939 to investigate this thing, a prepaid.
Also.
So then they spent about a year or so planning and gathering information.
That's correct.
That was then March 15th of 1940, Group Hospital Services of Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Plan, as it was known then, opened its doors, and it happened to be at 4th and Main in the Tulsa Loan Building.
Yes.
That plan adopted the Blue Cross name and logo.
Blue Shield came along later than the Blue Cross thing.
Yeah. And 1945, I think.
Yes, 1945 is 5 years different.
Jump in any time here now, Ron. You don't have to wait till you become president of this.
One of the interesting stories, I think, Ralph alluded to the St. Anthony Sisters, and then, you know, there was a guy named Walter McBee that was involved, but he was kind of the first director, and then, as Ralph said, Andy Helen was the first president of the plan, but it was an interesting story they used to tell about how it came about being in Tulsa versus Oklahoma City, because both communities were interested in having a plan of this nature set up. There was a group of businessmen from both communities went down to Dallas and looked at what was going on. They came back and decided that the first group of business guys that could raise the seed money, as they called it, for the plan, that's where the home office would be. You'll remember, John, the old Tulsa Club downtown. Mm-hmm. It was where the Tulsa contingent met, and they raised their $5,000. They needed $10,000 is what they determined. They raised their $5,000 first, so that's why really the plan was over here in
Tulsa.
Isn't
that amazing to this day?
It's because they got together down at the Tulsa Club and decided, well, let's do this, and here's $5,000 to fund it. That was really the launching pad for setting it up.
And then interesting that E.K. Gaylord of the Daily Oklahoman was an early investor in this program.
He was.
He was a major opponent of socialized medicine, so he was early in.
Yes.
Yeah, which is interesting when you think about that being in 1939, 1940, and the thought of socialized medicine, and here we are, 2013. Now we're talking about Obamacare being socialized medicine. And in between that is a fascinating history of health care and financing of health care.
Very much so.
It goes kind of full circle.
Yeah. Then the first account was St. Anthony's Hospital in Oklahoma City.
I think the first one in Tulsa was the Chamber of Commerce.
That's correct.
Where for 75 cents a month or $1 for a family of four, you were eligible for 30 days of hospitalization.
Yep. If I'm not mistaken, they're still members.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in fact, we offer a program for small business through the Tulsa Chamber. They've been with us all these years.
Interesting, some famous names that were on the board to begin with. T.C. Braniff, president of Braniff Airlines.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Virgil Brown of Coca-Cola Bottling, and became the chair of the board.
Chairman of the board.
Yeah.
That was before my time. I know, looking at me, you might say, that was way before your time. Just kidding.
Another name that was involved, which I found really interesting, is my general counsel when I became CEO was a lady named Jackie Haglund. Her husband, Dr. Roger Haglund, was on our board of directors. But her dad was one of the individuals at the Tulsa Club in 1940 that was instrumental in starting the plan. So you leapfrog from 1940 to when she became general counsel in like 1997, 50 years there, and she winds up being a senior officer in the plans.
That's very interesting. Yeah. The Oklahoma Hospital Association and the Oklahoma State Medical Association both supported the plan and they promoted it. So then you bring up N.D. Helland. He comes to Tulsa December 5th of 1941. Didn't have insurance experience, did he?
No insurance experience. As I said, he was a sweat sock salesman and used that all the time. He said, now, I may not know all I need to know about hospitals and doctors, but I can sure tell you about sweat socks.
That was his icebreaker, I'm sure, many times.
Oh, many times. He was the one that hired me, so... He did have pretty good judgment.
Was he a tall man?
No, he was not a tall man, about my size, which is 5'9", and was quite a guy.
Salesman's personality, obviously.
Yes. Now, the second president, which you hear about, is Ralph Bethel. He was the accountant. Now, Walter McBee, he reminds me of a movie star. He had long blonde hair and wore suede shoes. He later became president of the Texas Blue Cross and Blue Shield plan.
I think an analogy with that, the eighth plan president here was a guy named Burt Marshall, who now is the plan president in Texas. If you go back and look at the history books, Walter McBee, who was actually the first senior director, or whatever you want to call him here in Oklahoma, went to Texas to run the Texas plan in 1941 or 40.
Right.
And now, in the year 2012, Burt Marshall went to Texas from the Oklahoma plan to run the Texas plan. So we've got two Oklahoma boys down in Texas running the Texas plan.